Okay, we're learning Yeshaya Perek Yer Aleph. I would just like to backtrack 2-3 psukim, and hopefully today we'll learn the 10 qualifications for Mashiach, the 10 things that Mashiach will do. This is also the Haftorah of the 8th day of Pesach. It's the time of Geula, the time for the redemption, and we talk about the future, the times of Mashiach. The first few psukim we touched on in the last shiur, but just to recap, v'yotza choter migeza yishoy. A staff will emerge from the stump, like the tree stump of Yishoy, v'neitzim yisharosh of Yifre, and a shoot will come from the roots of Yishai, meaning Mashiach must come from the family, must be a descendant from David HaMelech. David is from Yishai. Mashiach himself will be an embodiment. He'll be like the reincarnation. He'll be like David himself coming back. So therefore he's called as coming from Yishai, who was the father of David. Mashiach will be like David is here again. But he must come from the family. He must be a descendant of Malchus Beis David. V'nachal of Ruach Hashem. And it will rest on him the spirit of Hashem. He will have a level of nevuah that first of all will rest on him. It won't just be a passing experience, but he will be in a constant state of prophecy. It will be resting on him. And as we mentioned, there are psukim that, based on what it says later on in Yishai and Perek Nun Beis, Hinei Yaskil Avdi, it says, my servant will be successful, Mashiach will be successful, Yoram, he'll be elevated, greater than Avram Avinu, the Medrash says. V'nisan, he'll be exalted, greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. V'gova Me'od, and he'll be very lofty, greater than the Malachim, greater than the angels. So, exactly this level of Nevuah is something that we wouldn't be able to comprehend the least of the Nevi'im, and certainly not a Navi like Moshe, and like Mashiach is beyond our understanding. But obviously when Mashiach is here, we'll realize that v'nocha lov ruach Hashem, that the spirit of Nevuah, the spirit of prophecy, rests on him. And it won't just be the spiritual and the ruchniistic realm, but there'll be a Ruach Chochmah Uvina. The third thing that Mashiach will have, besides his lineage, besides his state of prophecy, the third thing is that he'll have a Ruach Chochmah Uvina. He'll have a spirit of wisdom and understanding. Chochmah is what you learn from your Rebbe, from your teacher. Then you take that, and with Bina, you're able to build and you're able to understand your Maven Dovar Mitoch Dovar. You're able to learn something from that Chochmah. And it's not just the knowledge of Chochman Bina. It's not just the knowledge, but it'll have a Ruach Eitzo Gevura. Ruach Eitzo will be able to counsel you how in this world you can use that Chochman and Bina. You can transform it into the practical counsel that you need, your advice. He'll give you the Ruach Eitzo, and the Gevura is the courage and the strength to do what needs to be done. Ruach Das, there'll be a spirit of Das, of knowledge, which Das means, again, to take the Chochman Bina and be able to do with it and connect and build with that. He'll have that Das, and with all the knowledge, with all the intellect, and with all the understanding, the overriding thing is there'll be V'yiras Hashem, there'll be a fear of Hashem. The Me'am Lois brings down, you see the word Ruach four times. There'll be the Ruach Hashem, Ruach Chochmuvino, Ruach Eitzu Gvura, Ruach Das V'Yiras Hashem. Four times this word spirit. It says Kaviyachol, again, this is not, it's beyond our understanding the true implications of this. But just like Kaviyachol, if you had a king, the king rides in a chariot, and there's a chariot, the wagon that holds the king. Kaviyocho, whatever this means, the Shechina has a Merkava, something that the Shechina rests on and rides on. And the Merkava has four wheels. The three wheels are the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the fourth one is David HaMelech. And Mashiach will have all of these advantages. The Ruach Hashem which was an expression you find by David HaMelech. He said, Ruach Hashem diber bi. The Ruach Hashem, the Spirit of Hashem was on David. Mashiach will have that. The Ruach Chochmu Vina, the Ruach of understand, of wisdom and understanding that Avram Avinu had, Mashiach will have. The Ruach Eitzu Gevura, Yitzchak was the meat of Gevura, of strength, that he was willing to sacrifice himself at the Akedah. He'll have the Ruach Eitzu Gevura. Ruach Das, V'yiras Hashem. And by Yaakov Avinu, where you find Vayira Yaakov Ma'oid, Yaakov had that Yira which he used for his Yira Sashem and the Das, he'll have that. Mashiach will have all of the qualities, he'll be perfection. Vaharicho B'Yira Sashem. Vaharicho B'Yira Sashem, he'll be able to smell, he'll be able to detect with his Yiras Hashem what's right and what's wrong. V'lo l'mari ein of yishbot. He won't judge based on what he sees with his eyes. V'lo l'mishma aznov yochiach. He won't have to prove what's right or wrong based on what he hears. He'll have that sense. We can call it his fifth sense, but it's not what the... It's a sense that we don't have, that the Yiras Hashem gives him more than... Actually, the five senses, it would be his sixth sense. But he has the sense of Yiras Hashem where he's able to know what's the truth. And he doesn't have to see and he doesn't have to hear to know what's right and what's wrong. It could also mean V'arichu b'Yiras Hashem will be imbued with this year, this fear of Hashem. That even when he sees something and he knows, and he hears something, and again, he knows what's right and what's wrong. But some of Forshim learn that won't suffice from him. It will be so clear that he's judging with Yiras Hashem. Even when it's clearly right or wrong, he'll still listen and try to clarify it in the normal ways, even though he knows what's right and what's wrong. But there'll be a all-pervasive sense of Yiras Hashem, that he won't be flippant, it won't be a quick decision, but he'll take it with all the seriousness and the investigation. He won't just look and hear to know what to do. The Abar Benel mentioned, this is actually where we ended the previous year, that Vaharicho B'Yiras Hashem, the Abar Benel understands that Mashiach will be a person who is separated, Muvdol V'Nifrash, Mikol Tavos, Gashmios, he'll be totally removed from any desires of this world, of Olam Hazeh, of Gashmios. He won't be involved in the enjoyment of taste and of touch, but his enjoyment will be the more spiritual, the more ephemeral, the scent, the smell, which is a more cultured, a more refined enjoyment, is the sense of smell. And even sense of smell will be B'Yiras Hashem. That's what will give him the enjoyment. His enjoyment will be in the sense of reyach, of scent, and even that will be with Yiras Hashem. V'lo l'mari ein of yishbod, v'lo l'mishma oznov yochiach. It could also mean that when the people would come, and they would present their case, and when the court has to decide, when Beis Din has a case, the rule is ein l'dayin alamasha ein of rose. A judge has to judge based on the evidence. And even if he feels he's got to look for the truth, and if something seems wrong to him, he's really got to delve, and he can't give the psak if he thinks it's wrong. On the other hand, he judges based on what he's presented with. He hears the testimony, he looks at the evidence, he cross-examines the witnesses, and then after all is said and done, when he sees what he sees, is the way he decides. Mashiach will be able to go beyond that. V'lo l'mari ein of yishpot. He won't have to judge as a regular judge based on what he sees. With his Yiras Hashem, he'll know what's true, and he'll be guaranteed to have the correct decision. It is possible somebody goes to Beis Din and he gets the wrong psak. But a person should know that's, when they say it's the wrong psak, it could mean for whatever reason, Hashem wanted the judges to decide like this. In other words, a person can go to Beis Din and he knows that the other person owes him money, and he went to Beis Din and he presented his case and it was decided against him. So if he did what was correct in the eyes of Hashem, that was a mitzvah. He went to Beis Din and he did what he has to do. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided the other party should win, Hashem has his reasons, his cheshbonos. But by Mashiach, such a thing won't happen. V'lo l'mari ein of yishvot, he will know exactly what is the truth. V'lo l'mishma oznav yochiach, and not by what he hears with his ears, yochiach, will he prove what's right. He won't decide by what he hears. It could also be, yochiach is like the word tochacha, to rebuke. If you want to correct somebody, you'll have this by parents, although you can have it by others also. A parent can't be naive. And if a person, sometimes a parent will hear reports about his children, sometimes the reports aren't the best, something has to be corrected. And a parent can't say, you know, I need to have two witnesses, and they have to be adults, and they have to be valid, has to be a valid testimony, or else we can't mete out any punishment, and, you know, we can't really act on the circumstantial proof. To be mochiach, to correct somebody, you have to be able to hear, even if you don't see it, it's not obvious, but what you hear. We had at the very beginning of Shmuel, when we began our Navi Shirim, Eli said to his sons, Al Bonai, Kilo Tova HaShmua, don't act this way, my sons, because I'm getting a bad report. In other words, he just heard it. But if there are rumors going around, Kilo Tova HaShmua, a parent certainly has to act on that. In fact, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, Malkin al lo tova hashemua. Beis Din sometimes gives will give a punishment if they hear bad reports. If they constantly hear that a certain individual is engaged in the wrong activities and they've tried correcting him, Beis Din could give punishments based on hearsay. In certain cases, obviously, that has to be learned in the Gemara. But between man and his fellow, Beis Din has to judge by what they see. In terms of being mochiach, to correct somebody, Beis Din can work and a person decides by what he hears. But Mashiach won't be that way. There won't be any doubt and any suffix, and a person will act on what's probable, but he will know the absolute truth. V'shafat b'tzedek dalim. He won't be judging by what his eyes see. He will judge the dalim, the destitute, with tzedek, with justice. It could also mean there are different tools that a court will use. Do you accept evidence from a video camera? Do you accept DNA? Do you accept any other fingerprints? How do you judge the case? Or do you go with the more traditional, the halacha mentions, with witnesses, with shtaros, with documents? Mashiach will judge with tzedek. The way he judges a case is with justice. Mashiach will know it all, and he'll have the yiras Hashem, and he'll have the nevuah. V'shafat b'tzedek dalam. If you want to know how his court works, he judges not by what he sees. He judges by tzedek. Whatever is righteous, whatever is just, that is the way Mashiach will judge. V'shafat b'tzedek dalam. He'll judge using righteousness those that are destitute. Bochiach b'mishar, and he's not going to decide a case on what he hears, but bochiach b'mishar, using what is fair, he will decide the case la'an ve'aretz, to those who are the humble of the earth. The next quality of Mashiach, this is, I say, the Bar B'nai lists as the fifth quality, is that he'll be a judge. He will be the one that people come to for justice. He will rectify wrongdoing, and he will establish fairness and justice in the land. Again, the Abar Benel mentioned, V'haricho b'yiras Hashem means Mashiach will be known for his detachment from Olam Hazeh. That was his fourth quality. V'haricho b'yiras Hashem, he'll be detached from Olam Hazeh, he'll be involved, he won't be involved in Gashmias. And the fifth quality is v'shafat b'tzedek dalim, people will come to him to judge, to establish fairness and justice in the land. V'ochiach b'mishar, and he will decide with fairness, and b'mishar can also mean to be straight and to reach its target. Very often a person can say Musar and it just doesn't have an effect. Sometimes it can have the opposite effect. You try to correct somebody and he resents what you say and he does the opposite. But when Mashiach corrects somebody, Vochiach b'mishar, he will rebuke and he'll decide b'mishar with and a straightness. It'll reach its target. His words will be received. La'anvei aretz, the humble of the earth. Even they sometimes need reproof. But they'll accept the words of Mashiach. V'hika eretz b'shevet piv. This is the sixth quality. V'hika eretz b'shevet piv. Mashiach will strike the land with the rod of his mouth. He won't have to fight a physical war. But if Mashiach would say something, if there's some nation or country that doesn't want to accept HaKadosh Baruch, who doesn't want to serve Hashem as the king, doesn't accept Mashiach, with his words, with this, the rod of his mouth, he can strike the land. V'hika eretz b'shevet piv. Uvruach sefasov yomis rasha. And with the wind of his lips, yomis rasha, he'll kill the rasha, the wicked. Piv implies a full word. You're like, well, you use your whole mouth to say the utterance. The lips are the external, and sometimes after a person finishes speaking, his lips are still quivering. There's still a little bit of movement in the external lips, even after he's finished his message. V'hika eretz b'shevet piv. With his words, without any war, without any struggle, he'll be able to strike any opponents. Uvaruach sefas of Yomis Rasha. And that solitary Rasha, where it's not a land. That's just an individual who's a Rasha. With the wind of his lips, with the little after talk, whatever comes out from the external, from the lips, whatever comes out afterwards will be enough that Yomis Rasha will kill the Rasha. In other words, Mashiach will be able to do things miraculously. There'll be Nisim, and there'll be wonders. As we learned in yesterday's laning, Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'niflinu aniv amecha, that we should be separate than all the nations of the world, that the Shechina should rest only on Klal Yisrael, not on the other nations. The Nevuah should be in Klal Yisrael. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him afterwards, Neged kol amcha es and he flows, I'll do wonders for Klal Yisrael. All of these things, Klal Yisrael in the best circumstances, will be the way things are under Mashiach. We'll see obvious miracles and wonders. V'hoya tzedek ezor mosnov. Tzedek, righteousness, will be ezor mosnov, what he ties, what he belts himself with, mosnov, around his loins. V'ho emuna, and the emuna, the faith in Hashem, ezor chalotzov, that's what he puts around his waist. Musnov is what goes over the clothing. There's a belt that sometimes is under the clothing and a belt over the clothing. V'hoya tzedek ezor musnov. What's over the clothing, like by Yitzias Mitzrayim, it said, Mosnechem chagurim, nalechem bragleichem, umakelchem b'yerchem. When they ate the korban Pesach in Mitzrayim, they had to be ready to travel. Meaning they were dressed and they had a belt on over their clothing so that they weren't stopping every minute to lift up their pants, but they were ready to run and to leave b'chipazon in haste. Mosnechem chaguri means a belt over the clothing. Everyone can see that belt. V'hoyot tzedek ezor mosnov. By Mashiach, the belt that goes around the clothing, around his waist, that will be a belt of tzedek, of justice. Everyone will see the righteousness of Mashiach. V'ho emuna, and the faith in Hashem, ezor chalotzov, that's what goes around directly his waist, his body, under the clothing. Like it says, u'melochim mechalotzecha yetzeyu, like children, you'll have kings coming out from you, Yaakov was told. But coming out from you means from the body, from his physical body. Mechalotzecha yetzeyu means if a person is encircled, his body is surrounded with a belt, that's the way Mashiach will have his emunah in Hashem. We'll see emunah. But as much of the Madregos and as much of we see of Mashiach's greatness, and we see that the Ruach, the Nevuah is constantly on him, that Venochal of Ruach Hashem, and we see greatness, but as much as we see, the true Emunah is Ezor Chalotzov, it's not visible to us. Very often you'll see a Tzaddik, you'll see a Gadol, a Talmud Chacham, and you'll see whatever Madrega you see, but there's more that you don't see. And by Mashiach, that will be the case. Emunah will be Ezor Chalotzov, will be like around his waist, on his body, under the clothing, because the full measure of his Emunah is hidden. V'gor is the Avin Kevis. These are the famous psukim. The wolf will live together with the sheep. The nomerim gidi yirbots. The leopard, the nomer, will lie down with the gidi as the young, the kid, the young goat, or it could be another young animal. The egel and a calf. Uchafir is a young lion. Umiri is a fattened animal, a fattened goat. Yachdov, they'll all be together. Vinara katon noheg bom, and a young lad will lead them. These things are opposites. A ze'ev, a wolf, is a very cunning creature, and it's going to be together with the keves, the simple sheep that doesn't know any chokhmas, that's katzon latevach yuvol, like the sheep brought to the slaughter. The sheep is not the cunning, sly animal, like the wolf. But they'll be together. V'nomer is a leopard, is heavy az kanomer. There's a certain boldness that the leopard has. But the nomer, that bold leopard, in gidi yerbots, with the kid, the young goat that goes dancing around, that jumps around, that doesn't have any boldness, it goes running away, those two will lie down together. Ve'egel chafiru meri yachtov. And the kfir is that young lion that's so quick. But together with the calf and the fattened animal, that meri goes slowly. It's a fattened animal that's just being prepared to be shechted, but it's very slow. Together with a quick fear, everyone will dwell in harmony. V'nar katon noheg bom, and they'll all be led by the young lad. They'll all be subservient to people. People won't be afraid of the animal kingdom. The animals will get together, and they'll all be led. They'll all be controlled. They'll all be here to serve people. Ufora v'dov tirena, the cow and the bear will graze together. When they're grazing, means they're both pasturing, they're both competing for the same grass and the same living quarters. And even though the dove is such a restless animal that paces back and forth in its cage, and it's dove ein lehem menucha, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, in the fourth parak, like the bears don't have rest. And the par, of course, the cow, is pretty stationary, doesn't really move too much. And it shakes its tail once in a while to drive off the flies. But the par and the dove together will pasture. Yachdov yirbitzu yaldehen. Together, their young ones will lie down. V'aryeh kabokar yochal teven. And the lion, like the cattle, will eat straw. The Radak says, and I'd like to pretty much go through this Radak. The Radak says, "V'gor ze'ev in keves, the wolf will lie down with the sheep." Yesh meforshim that in the Yemos HaMashiach, the nature of the wild animals and the behemoths will choose the way, will change, and the animals will have a nature like they had b'tchilas habriya when the world was created. And the nature that they had when they were Noach's Teva. Because imagine, when the world was first created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created one male and one female lion. And one male and one female sheep. Everything was created Zachar and Nekeva. And then in the Teva, there was also one pair of this and one pair of the other animals. The kosher animals had more to bring korbanos, but all animals were zachar and akeva. If one animal would have attacked another, that would be the end of that species. It would have become extinct right there in the teva, or right there at the beginning of creation, until the animals had a chance to increase. So their nature from birth, from creation, their nature was to be, I guess, herbivorous. They were not, they did, one animal would not eat the other. And it wasn't that way in the teva. They didn't eat other animals. It changed when Hashem used animals to punish people. That if a person has an aveir and HaKadosh Baruch Hu used the animals to punish people and to kill people, in certain cases when a person deserved it, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu would use the animals to mete out the punishment. And once that happens, so it happens sometimes even we don't understand, sometimes it could be the person didn't seem to deserve it, but once, so then already that nature of attacking and killing came to the animals. But in the times of Mashiach, that nature will change. That's the way some Mefarshim learn. The Yesh Mefarshim and the Radak says others learn, and this is the opinion of the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, Ki kol zeh moshel. The Rambam says this is all a moshel. It's just an example to teach us a lesson. Because the wolf and the leopard and the bear and the lion, it's all a mushal to the Rishoyim, Ha'oshkim, V'Hagozlim. Shehem L'chaloshim. That they go ahead and they rob and they steal from those who are weaker, like these animals that attack the weaker animals. And the humble is described as the sheep and the cow and the calf and the gedi, the goat. That's a mushal for the humble. And the point is, in the days of Mashiach, there'll be peace in the land, and no one will hurt the other. And that the Radak argues. And he says, V'lo yitachin ze'apirish. That can't be. Because we're going to see, in Pasuk Tes, lo yareyu v'lo yashchisu b'chol harkotshi. This tremendous prophecy is going to happen in my whole mountain, the Har Kodesh, my holy mountain, the mountain of the Beis Hamikdash, or the Mefarshim say it's referring to the whole Eretz Yisrael. And if it meant simply that people won't attack each other and there'll be peace in the land, that'll be through the whole world. There won't be any more war in the world. So that people will get along, that's all over the world. This is a change in nature which will be experienced in Eretz Yisrael, that lo yareyu v'lo yashchisu b'chol har kodshi. And the Radak says it should be understood in the literal sense. Now, Barbanel, in fact, expounds on this idea. In the Torah, we find many cases that the animals were used, for instance, in Mitzrayim. Orev, the wild animals, came and they attacked people. We learned when we come to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem will send a wasp or a hornet and it'll shoot the poison at the enemy to kill them. And the Teichacha, it says, I'll send against you the wild animals if Klai Yisrael needs the punishment. The locusts will come and eat all the crops. So you see that the nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses these animals to bring out punishment. And on the other hand, if a person is a tzaddik and he doesn't deserve a punishment, you can have stories, mices that happen like Daniel Begova Royos. Daniel was thrown into the pit of lions and they didn't touch him, they did nothing. After Daniel was removed from the pit and they threw in those that had slandered Daniel, were thrown into the pit, before the people reached the ground, the lions had already jumped up and ripped them to pieces. But Daniel wasn't affected at all by the lions. And it says in Pirkei Avos, one of the miracles that happened in Yerushalayim was Lo hiziku me'olam nachash va'akrav b'Yerushalayim. Snakes and scorpions never did damage in Yerushalayim. So we see that the animals are used to bring punishment, and that when Klal Yisrael doesn't deserve it, or in the times of Mashiach where the world will not be a place anymore of punishment, and everything will be done with justice. The nature of the animals will change. In fact, the Torah's Kohanim in Bechukosai has two opinions. The Pasuk says, Vishpati chaya roa min ha'aretz. I'll stop the wild animals from the land. Either it means that those wild animals won't exist anymore, or it means, like we're learning in these psukim, that there will no longer be wild animals, their nature will change, and they'll become domesticated. Va'aryeh ka'bokar yochal teven, and the lion will eat straw like the bokar, like the cattle. V'shi'asha yonek al chur posen. And the yonek, the young child who nurses from his mother, he'll play around al chur posen, on the hole where you have a posen as a type of snake. And the child will play around by that snake hole. Va'al muras tzifoni. And by the lair of the adder, another type of snake. See, posen here they translate as the viper, and tzifoni as the adder. Different types of snakes. And by the hole of the tzifoni gomul, the child who's stopped nursing, he's been weaned, yodo hada, he's already a little older, he stretches out his hands, yodo hada, and he throws, stretches out his hand into that hole of the tzifoni, and nothing will happen. Not only won't the animals attack each other for meat and for food, and not only won't they attack just to be vicious, but even when they're incited, and somebody, a child, thrusts his hand into their hole, they won't do any harm. Lo yareyu v'lo yashchisu b'chol har kodshi. They won't do any ra, any evil, even when it's for their own benefit. V'lo yashchisu. Yashchisu is to be destructive. B'chol har kodshi, on my whole sacred mountain, kimola haretz deyos Hashem. The land will be full of the knowledge of Hashem. Kamayim layom mechasim, like the water covers the sea. Some learn al-chur posen, when it says that child plays, al-chur posen, by the hole of the posen, it can mean the hole where his mouth is, the holes of the snake's body, and you have a child who puts his hands into the snake, like sticks his hand into the mouth of the snake. Va'al ma'uras tzifoni is where the snake gets the ore, gets the light. Meaning the child sticks his hand into the snake's eyes. And yet the snake won't do any harm. The snake is in a hole. In fact, the Mefarshim say, because the snake has large eyes, and very often he's in a dark hole. And if somebody were to look into the hole, he'll just see a little a gleam of light by the eyes. Once he can tell there's a snake and he can see the snake's eyes. And there could be a child playing by the hole and he looks in and it's a dark hole, but he sees the two eyes and it looks like there's a shiny stone, or he doesn't know what that light is. What's this ma'uras tzifoni? And he sticks his hand in. But in the times of Mashiach, nothing will happen. It could be the hole is also called ma'uras because that's where the snake... The hole allows a little bit of light into that hole. So it either means the child sticks his hands into the hole of the ground where the posen and where the tzifoni are, or it means he actually sticks his fingers into the snake. But whatever it is, nothing will happen. Even though, and these are the two extremes, nowadays in this world, even an adult has to be on the guard not to be careful around these dangerous snakes. The pusan and the tzifoni are the old snakes that don't hear. I don't know exactly how you charm a snake, how you play on the flute or something like that, and you charm the snake that it won't do any harm. But there was a way that a person would be able to control the snake that they shouldn't hurt them. But it seems like these snakes, the pusan was an old snake that doesn't have hearing anymore. So you can't charm it because the snake doesn't hear. It's the most dangerous snake. There's no protection against it. And of course, the most feeble child, a person is the yonek, that nursing child who has no physical, mental ability. He's that young, innocent child. And that yonek will stick his hand against the worst snake, the most helpless child, and nothing will happen. Kimola ha'aretz deo es Hashem. The earth will be full of the knowledge of Hashem, kamayim layom mechasim, like the water covers the sea. When you look at the sea, on the top surface, it's level. Of course, on the ocean bottom, depending on the ocean bed, sometimes it can be miles deeper in one location than in another location. But on the surface, it all looks the same. The water levels everything out. On one hand, there'll be a knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that covers everything. And everyone will have a knowledge of Hashem, and it'll be all pervasive. But even in Yemos HaMashiach, there will be those who know more, who have a deeper clay kibul, who have a greater receptacle for knowledge of Hashem. The surface on the top will be the same, but in some places the water, the knowledge of Hashem will be deeper than in others. V'hoyah v'yomahu, and it'll be on that day, Shoresh Yishai, that root of Yishai, Asher Omeid L'Neis Amim, that's standing as a banner for the nations. Mashiach is going to be like you'd raise a flag, and when the flag goes up, the soldiers know which way to go. And Mashiach will be the guiding light, that everyone will see Mashiach as the banner, that they should all go toward him and serve him. On that day, the Shoresh Yishai Asher Omeid L'Neis Amim, that's there as a banner for all the peoples, Elov goyim yidroshu, the goyim will come seeking him. V'hoysa menuchoso kovod, he won't have to go out to them, he won't go looking for them. His resting place will be one of honor. Sometimes a person doesn't go out because he's afraid. He doesn't want to encounter any adversaries. And sometimes a person stays where he is, he's afraid to venture outside, and of course, he doesn't become the center of attraction. He remains unknown in his small corner. Mashiach will be menuchoso kavod. He won't have to go out. He won't have to do any campaigning or to go visiting and to go seeing people. They'll come to him. And they'll come. He'll be there like that Neis Amim, that Elov Goyim Yidroshu, the Goyim will come seeking him. V'hoya v'yomahu. And it'll be on that day. This is the eighth one of the conditions. The seventh one, I don't know if we mentioned it, the sixth one is that there'll be miracles, the Hika Eretz B'Shevet Piv, that Mashiach will do miracles in the land. That was number six. And number seven is that there'll be an abundance of peace, as we've mentioned, that Gor Ze'evim Keves, the natures of the animals will change, and everything will be peaceful, lo yareyu v'lo yashchisu b'chol har kodshi. The eighth condition of Mashiach is that the nations of the world will come to him. It won't just be a leader for Klal Yisrael, but the whole world will come to accept Mashiach. V'hoya b'yom ahu, and it'll be on that day, Yosef Hashem Shenis Yodo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will once again show his hand, Liknos es sha'ar amo, to acquire the remnant of his people. Asher yishar me Ashuru mi Mitzrayim, those Jews that remain from Ashur and from Mitzrayim, umi Patros umi Kush, umi Elam, umi Shinor, umi Hamos, these are all different countries, umi Iye Hayom, and from the islands of the sea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will gather them all in a second time. As Rashi says, just like by Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim and to make us his people, once again in the final Geula, Klal Yisrael will be gathered in. And Rashi makes the point, which we've mentioned before, but Rashi already mentions that idea, that Avol Geulas Bayis Sheni Eina Min HaMinyan. When they came back for the second Beis HaMikdash, that's not counted as the Geula. Sharei Mishubarim Hayu LeKoresh, because they were subservient to Koresh. When they went to build the second base HaMikdash, it sounds funny, but that's actually what happened. They had to get a building permit. They went to the ruler, Koresh, and they asked if they could build a base HaMikdash, and he gave permission, and then later on the permission was rescinded, and it was again granted permission later on one of the gates of the Beis HaMikdash, they had a mural of Shushan HaBira. It's like, imagine if Chas V'Shalom in the third Beis HaMikdash, they have to put a picture of Washington, D.C., as if it was built with the permission of the United States government. But in the Bayis Sheni, there was a gate that was Shushan HaBira, because it was built under the permission of Persia. And there were five differences that Abarbanel mentions between the Gula of Mitzrayim and coming up to build the second Beis HaMikdash. And we'll see that the real comparison to Gulas Mitzrayim will be the final redemption. By Gulas Mitzrayim, everyone came. As all those that died earlier, but everyone who was alive at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, they all came out. By Bavel, only a small amount of Klal Yisrael came back. The 10 tribes didn't come back. You only had those that were in Bavel, and from those in Bavel, only a small amount came. Most of them didn't come up. By Mitzrayim, they went out Me'abdus L'Cherus. They were totally free. When they came up for the second Beis HaMikdash, it started with the permission of Poras Umodai, the Persian Empire. And then afterwards, the Greeks, the Yavonim, that's when we had the story of Hanukkah. And then afterwards, Rome had control even before the actual Churban. So they never had their Cherus, the freedom, like they had by Yetzias Mitzrayim. By Yetzias Mitzrayim, we had a Mishkan with the Aron. The Shechina was there. There was prophecy. There was Ruach HaKodesh. There was Urim V'tumim that the Kohen Gadol wore, and he was able to receive messages what to do. There was a fire came down from Shemayim. All these things were missing in the second Beis HaMikdash. There were Nisim and Niflos. There were wonders by Yetzias Mitzrayim. And of course, when they came up from Bavel, there were no such miracles. In fact, it says over there in Ezra and Nehemiah, they didn't have enough funds, and they sent back to Bavel that the people should, you know, they needed people to help raise, send them money and send them supplies. They didn't have enough, let alone there were no miracles and wonders like Yetzias Mitzrayim. By Yetzias Mitzrayim, Shevet Yehuda were the leaders. Nachshon ben Aminodov was the one who jumped in, and Shevet Yehuda was the ones who led in the Midbar. And then later on when we had kings, it came from Yehuda. And by Yesheni, the kings were not from Yehuda. They had other leaders, and then later on the Chashmonoim were the kings, and later on Hordus took over. They didn't have kings from Malchus Beis David. The final Geul is going to be the second time. In this sense, v'hoya b'yom ahu, and that to Yosef Hashem Shenis Yodo, Hakadosh Baruch Hu for a second time will again show His hand, liknos eshar amo, to acquire those that remain from His people, those that remain from Ashur. Ashur is referring to the exile of the 10 tribes. They were exiled by Ashur, and there were those who went to Mitzrayim and Pasrus and Kush, and even from Yehud and Binyamin. After the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, the bulk of the people went to Bavel. But there were those who went to Mitzrayim, and there were those who spread out into other lands. And then after the Churban Bayis Sheni, they're dispersed all over. But from all these nations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will gather in Klal Yisrael. This is the ninth condition. Mashiach will be the one to bring back all of Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. V'nosa neis l'goyim, he'll raise the banner for the nations. V'osaf nidche Yisrael, and he'll gather in the nidche Yisrael, the castaways of Yisrael. Yisrael could be referring to the 10 tribes, Malchus Yisrael. And they were cast away. And they're in one place. They originally started out in a few cities, Lachavachalach, Uvachavor. The Pasuk says which cities they went to. Obviously, from there they were taken elsewhere. But the 10 tribes are together. Those castaways, the Nidche Yisrael, will be gathered in. Unafutzos Yehuda Yekabetz. Yehuda was scattered, dispersed. And Hashem will gather them in Me Arba Kanfos Ha'aretz, from the four corners of the earth. You should know, we take these things for granted, but you have to remember, we're learning now Nevuahs that was said in the times of the first Beis Hamikdash, by Yeshaya, when Klal Yisrael was all in Eretz Yisrael. In the times of Chizkiyahu, the 10 tribes had been exiled in one place, but Yehuda was all there. And the Navi is saying that, believe it or not, Klal Yisrael will be scattered throughout the whole world. So what we take as granted, and we certainly realize that's the situation we're in, this was foretold that they will be scattered by Arba Kanfos Ha'aretz, and Mashiach will gather in Nefutzos, is Lashon Rabin, because there was more than one dispersion. It was after the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and again after the second, and that's Yehuda. Yehuda is the ones that are scattered throughout the whole world. That's where the word Jews come from. Jews comes from Judah, the name. But we're called the Golos Yehuda, and Hashem will gather us together, Mi'arba Kanfos Ha'aretz, from the four corners of the earth. V'soram Kinas Ephraim. The jealousy of Ephraim will be removed. Will stop. V'tzorei Yehuda yikoresu, and the oppressors of Yehuda will be cut off. The enemies of Yehuda will be cut off, will be destroyed. Ephraim will no longer have their jealousy. Their jealousy will be removed, will be stopped, and the enemies will be destroyed. Ephraim will yikani as Yehuda. Ephraim won't be jealous of Yehuda. V'Yehuda lo yotzor as Ephraim. And Yehuda won't oppose Ephraim. Ephraim was jealous of Yehuda. Some say Yehuda, and it could be it even started back in the Midbar, in the desert. Yehuda was the first Degel. It was Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zevulun were the main tribes from the Imahos from Leah. And Yehuda was the leader. They traveled first. The ones on the west, which was on the other side of the Mishkan, was Ephraim. That was Ephraim with Menasheh and Binyamin. Those were the children of Rachel, also from the Imahos. The other Degolim weren't jealous. They had some of those from the Shvachos, from Bila and Zilpah's children. They weren't as prominent. But Ephraim was the Degel that had Rachel's children. Yehuda had Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zevulun from Leah. And yet Yehuda was the one that was the leader and that was chosen for Malchus, even though Rachel is the one that's the Eishas Yehuda, the Eishas Yaakov, the Akeres Habayis, but Yehuda was the leader. And there was that friction from back then. But Ephraim will no longer be jealous of Yehuda. And Yehuda lo yotzer as Ephraim. Yehuda won't oppress Ephraim. There was always the fighting and the battles between the two kingdoms, Yehuda and the Aseres HaShvatim. V'ofu b'chosei plishtim yomam. And they'll fly together. V'ofu, they'll fly. Because if united, they'll put shoulder to shoulder. They'll fly to the plishtim on the west. And they'll take over that land. Yachdav yavozu es b'nei kedem. And together, they'll plunder those who live on the east. Edom u'moav mishloach yodam. Edom and Moab, they'll send out their hands to take what they want. Edom and Moab are on the south. Uvnei Amon Mishmatam. And the people of Amon Mishmatam will have to, they'll have, be disciplined, they'll have to obey and listen to what Klal Yisrael says. It could be these nations won't exist anymore, they've been dispersed. It doesn't mean they're living on these lands anymore. Sancheiriv already came and he mixed up all the countries. But it simply means these countries that lived, that are situated around Eretz Yisrael, will now become part of Eretz Yisrael. And in the case of Ammon, they'll be subservient to Klal Yisrael. The Torah says, there was when we came, when we first were traveling through the Midbar and coming to Eretz Yisrael, there's a pasuk, a command, Al Totzar Es Moav. We're not allowed to oppress Moav. By Ammon it says, V'karav Tamul B'nei Ammon Al Tetzurein. Ammon we weren't allowed to start up with. And Esav we had to leave alone. Esav, which is Edom, Ki Yerushal, Esav, Nasati Har Seir. These countries, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said we had to leave alone. We were entitled to Eretz Yisrael, but not to these lands. And yet, later on, in Yemos HaMashiach, the Torah foretells, there'll be a point when our boundaries will be expanded, and we'll take over the lands of the Keni, Knezi, Kadmoni, these nations, which is the lands that we're referring to in this pasuk. They'll take over Edom and Moab, and Bnei Amon will be disciplined by them. The Plishtim on the west, the Gaza Strip is on the west. That's where the Plishtim are. But the Plishtim on the west and on the east, they'll be able to plunder. Everything will be controlled by Klal Yisrael. One last thought on Ephraim lo yakanias Yehuda, v'Yehuda lo yotzer as Ephraim. Ephraim won't be jealous of Yehuda. Yehuda won't oppress Ephraim. Rashi says, this is a reference, that there'll be a Mashiach ben Yosef. There'll be a Mashiach from the family of Yosef that will battle for Klal Yisrael at the time of Gog and Magog. And there'll be a Mashiach ben David, who's the Mashiach that we've been talking about in this parak. Lo yikanu zeh bazeh. Rashi says the two Mashiachs won't be jealous. They'll each have their role. They'll get along together. But we see here a reference to these two Mashiachs. The two Mashiachs. Vehechrim Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is the last condition. This is the tenth Tanai. Vehechrim Hashem. Hashem will dry up. Eis Lashon Yam Mitzrayim. The gulf of the Sea of Mitzrayim. That strip of water that's like a narrow tongue, the Nile River, right by Mitzrayim. Hashem will dry it up. V'heini fyodo al hanar, and he'll wave his hand over the river. Some learn the river here is the river of Paras, the Euphrates, which will be the northern boundary of Eretz Yisrael. Hashem will wave his hand over that river by Yom Rucho, with the power of his breath. V'hiko l'shiva necholim. And he'll strike it, he'll break it into seven streams. And in between every stream, there'll be land where everyone will be able to walk. V'hidrich bana'olim, and the people will be able to walk through it, trod through it, bana'olim, with their shoes. It'll be dry ground. They won't have to take off their shoes like somebody walking through the water. It'll be dry. The tenth condition is that Mashiach will do a nace like Kriyas Yamsuf. The waters will be split, and Klal Yisrael will return and come on dry land through these rivers, in between the rivers. For Hoysa Mesila, there'll be a path, Lishor Amo, for the remnants of Hashem's nation, Asher Yishor Amei Ashur, those that remain from Ashur, Kasher Hoysa Yisrael, like Klal Yisrael had this path, Biyom alosomi eretz Mitzrayim, on the day that we came up from Mitzrayim, and there was a Kriyas Yamsuf with all the miracles. When Mashiach comes, all of Klal Yisrael will be gathered together from all the four corners of the earth, and we'll have this path by which to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Like we say in the Haggadah, Leman tizkor siyom tzeischa mi'eretz Mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha. Yemei Chayecha, the Chachamim say, means Ha'olam Hazeh. In this world, we talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kol Yemei Chayecha is Lahavi Limos HaMashiach. When Mashiach comes, we'll also mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it'll be secondary. The main talk, what will have everyone's excitement and everyone's awe and everyone's knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will be brought about with the tremendous miracles that are done for Klal Yisrael at the time of the final Geula, and also be mentioned as a secondary thing, the fact that we were taken out of Mitzrayim. But the main focus will be Emir Tzashem, the Geula HaAsida, the redemption, which, as we've learned many times here in Yeshaya, the Geula can come earlier, and sometimes it comes Be'ita in its time. If we don't merit, it doesn't come early. But the time is in Nisan, Chazal say, B'Nisan Nigalu, V'Nisan Asidim Ligoel, And we should be zeichet to the gula, kreivu b'mher v'yameinu, amen. And Yirtz Hashem, since this is sort of the end of a perek, and I don't want to end up in the middle of Nevuah's about Bavel and then have a major break. So we're now going to take a break now till after Pesach, and we'll resume not the Sunday after Pesach, but the one after that. Like a week and a half after Pesach, we'll Yirtz Hashem resume. You know,